Scripture reading this morning comes from James, the fourth chapter, and I'll be reading verses 13 and 14. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away.
It's good to see everyone this beautiful crisp morning. A doctor had called in one of his patients to give him some important news. And the doctor said, I received the results from your test, and I have good news and bad news. So the patient, he sat there and says, well, give me the good news first. And the doctor said, you only have 24 hours to live. And the patient looked at him and said, Doc, what could possibly be the bad news? The doctor said, I was supposed to tell you yesterday. Many of us live as if there is no tomorrow. We simply have no concept of what the world would be without us. And yet, each second the clock ticks away is one less second off our lives. And as David said, it is soon cut off and we fly away. That verse comes from Psalms 90 and verse 10. The whole verse says, the days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Many think that we are given 70 years of life, and when we've passed that benchmark, then the rest of our time is borrowed time. But that's not what the Scripture is telling us. The average lifespan is less than 70 years old in the world. But if we live past 70, those extra years are seldom years of joy and happiness. Our whole existence is a gift from God. From the day of our birth until the day of our death, we are on the clock. Hebrews 9 verse 27 reminds us that it is appointed unto man once to die. One of the greatest questions that one can ask is, what is the meaning of life? This greatest of all philosophical questions is answered in the greatest theological book. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That is the meaning of life. In Mark 12 and verse 30, Jesus said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. So we're clicking away time. And the wisest use of our time is to invest it in the love and the worship of our Creator. How do we use our time? In John 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There was a wise man by the name of Chloe. And when he was asked what was the hardest thing for a man to do, he replied, to employ his time wisely. What if, say, starting tomorrow, that you would make a minute-by-minute journal of your week, starting from the moment that you woke up until the moment you went to bed, you chronicled everything that you did. And you do this until Saturday night, and then you get another sheet of paper and you put two columns on that paper. Self and God. And you go down and you tally those minutes. And at the end of the tally, look to see what was spent on self and what was spent on God. What is the wisest use of our time? First, it is a belief and a trust in Christ and God. In John 6 and verses 28 and 29, it says, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered them, and he said, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent." But we must also use our time wisely in prayer and in our communion with God and to meditate. You know, no sooner was Daniel told that he could not pray in Daniel chapter 6 that he went up to his room at his window and prayed. He got to go visit the lions after that. But you know what? No matter what the world says to you, you can never go wrong with prayer. Ever. But we also need to be working for God. In the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 and verses 14 through 30, we find the message that Jesus here was trying to get across, in that we need to do our very best for God. It is about gathering souls for the kingdom. You know, we had the one talent man, and he hid what was given to him. Why? Because he was afraid. He was afraid. His fear caused him to hold back what he had from somebody else who could benefit it. How many Christians today that call themselves Christians that obeyed the gospel holds that into themselves and never shares it? Their talent is buried. The scripture tells us of five specific crowns that will be given to faithful workers, that we are to receive an incorruptible crown for a consistent Christian life. We read that in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, "And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things," Paul writes. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. We are promised a crown of righteousness for those who anxiously await the second coming and live their lives in that faithful expectation of that coming. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, Paul again writes, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." And we will receive the crown of life if we endure the trials of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. John here writes that Christ said, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." That we will also receive the crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? And Peter tells us that we will receive a crown of glory, 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. How many of the billions and billions of people that have inhabited this earth since the creation have not wasted their time? In Luke chapter 15, we read the account of the prodigal son. And, of course, we understand Jesus is talking about repentance and forgiveness. But there's also another part in there that we don't oftentimes see. You know, many years ago when Vicki and I and Katie and Vince were in North Dakota and we had the floods up there in 1997, we had a group of men come up from Mississippi to help us with some of the benevolence work and the flood work and stuff that we were doing. And every night they would have a gospel meeting, and the one man was a preacher at their church, and he had done a lesson that night, and I never heard a lesson like that from that verse of scripture. I believe he had taken it out of the book of Job. There's a lot of ways I learned after that you can get out of scripture as you continue to study. And I get that out of Luke chapter 15. Because here was a young man who wasted his wealth. Here was a young man who wasted his youth and his energy on riotous living. But mostly he wasted his time. In Judges chapter 14, we have the account of Samson, who wasted his strength and his life with a woman who was an enemy of God. In Luke chapter 12 and verses 16 through 19, we have the parable of the rich farmer, who was so preoccupied with the wealth of this world that he gave no thought of the world to come. There was a young woman who was living a very high-pressured life. So she moved with her family from the city to the country. And the family had resolved to reduce the stresses and the tensions that they had been under by entering into a gentler, easier lifestyle. After a few months, a neighbor came calling on her, and as she was sitting in the kitchen, she looked up and she saw this poem on the wall. And the lady, the neighbor says, "Well, what's that?" And she said, "Oh, that's a poem that represents what our moving here is all about." And she went on. She said, "The poem starts out, 'Lord, slow me down.' But then she said, 'But I haven't had time to finish the poem yet.'" Is that us? When they say, "Stop and smell the roses," well, we've got to back up to smell them because we've done passed them. And we're not getting any younger. If you will, turn to Luke chapter 10. I want to read verses 38 through 42. And it says, "Now it came to pass as they went out, and he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she should help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away. I think sometimes we need about once a week go back and read that verses and reflect on those verses and push and put ourselves in that position. Dennis, Dennis, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Martha became so worried about things that weren't important, while Mary chose what was important. How many of us neglect the opportunity to sit at the Master's feet for things that are not important? What if Jesus said these words to us? Would we get mad at him? A very rich man died, and someone said, well, how much money did he leave? And another person replied, he left all of it. There's not a single thing in our possession that we are going to leave this earth with. Nothing, not even our body. But we spend so much time on it that we miss what is so truly important. Look at all them that ran out of time. The rich farmer in Luke 12. The rich man in Luke 16, the one that had the conversation with Abraham and Lazarus. They ran out of time. And what time was given to them, they wasted it on things that did not matter. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. To lose one's health is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more, wealth is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss as no man can restore. It is said on average that 39 people will die in the amount of time that it took for me to read that poem. Every hour, almost 6,000 people go to meet their Maker. And you can be one of them. And sooner or later, you will be. Are you ready? Amos writes in Amos 4 and verse 12, thus, therefore thus will I do unto thee. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. Are we prepared? You know, in reality, we are not on borrowed time. God gives it to us when He gave us that breath of life. And just as Jesus had illustrated in the parable of the talents, He leaves it up to us to make the most of it. Not on worldly things, but on those things that really do matter. Our souls and the souls of others. How are you using your time on this earth? Will it reap you rewards? Will you be given the proper place in the kingdom of heaven? Or will you be as the one talent man who was cast into outer darkness with the gnashing of teeth and in eternity in torment? You see, we all have that choice to make, and that choice is ours and ours alone. So where do you stand with the time you are using today? If you're not a Christian, life is going by and life is very fleeting. And before you know it, you're going to be standing like a lot of us here. You're going to pass the 60 mark, the 70 mark, the 80 mark, and you're going to start thinking, boy, you better pray that you can pass those marks. Because too many today don't even get that far. And then what will they have in the end? If you haven't obeyed the gospel, seriously consider that this morning. Use the time that we have right now wisely and make that determination to be baptized for the remission of your sins, to be added to the Lord's church. You're not joining anything. You're being added by God because He sees your heart and He knows what you are about. Maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you have been wasting your time and not giving to the Lord what He deserves, and you need to make these things right. Think about these things today. Make a decision to be right with God, to secure your home in heaven. If there's anyone that has a need this morning, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.